Hi, Chad. Hi, Sean.
How you doing?
Good. Did you get my email? I just barely sent it like 5 minutes ago.
Let me check. Yep, I got it.
Awesome.
I was actually a little surprised yesterday. I didn't
Yeah.
know, I thought we were all done with that and so, yeah, caught me off
Oh,
guard
you
a little
thought it had
bit, but
already been selected? Oh, yeah. Sorry that we didn't communicate better with you.
yeah, that's no problem. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on it. Sean, how's the new job?
I'm enjoying it.
Good. A lot less pressure.
Yeah,
I need a new job like that. Just kidding. Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping to get everything squared away so we can all chat.
Morning. Yeah, on that email you just sent. Hi, Amber. I can't hear you. Doesn't look like you're muted, but I don't get any audio.
Here we are. You guys see us and hear us?
Yep, we can.
Okay. Something's weird here. We're not getting the video feedback.
Okay. Bill, who do you have in the room with you? I can see, is it Chris and Dan? I see Dan.
Yes, you can see us. Okay, good.
Yep, okay, great. Well, it's 10:01. Oh, Amber, no, I can't hear you still. Sorry. I was having that same issue with my computer and I would just call on my phone, and then miraculously today it's been working, so I don't know. Okay, we have 12 people on the call. Okay, I'll type. Okay, great. We have 12 people on, but and that's a lot fewer than we normally have, but it is 10:01, so let's go ahead and get started. Thanks for of you who are have joined. We appreciate it. I'm going to turn it over to Phil. I'm going to share the PowerPoint while Phil goes through some of the radio division updates that we shared at the governing board meeting yesterday. So I will start sharing and then Phil will just guide me through what slides he wants. So let me make this happen, Phil.
Okay.
Let me get to the, there we go. Okay, let's see. Okay. I'll mute me and then you just go, Phil.
Okay, let's go to the next slide. Let's see what's on that one. Okay, and Tennis. So as we've discussed, I think the last couple, maybe 3 months that we've had this, we're going through and replacing antennas for a couple of reasons. So the first reason that we've been replacing these antennas is because of just coverage footprint improvements. We noticed that some of the down tilts and gains that were picked didn't provide the footprint that we wanted. So Travis, our site and project manager, was able to basically spec out some new antennas that provide improved coverage footprints. We put those antennas on order. Simultaneously, we've been working with L3Harris for because we had noticed that some of the antennas had failures. Some of these antennas have been installed for probably close to 3 years now. They've had lightning strikes, they've had wind events, they've had mount issues. Some of that's normal, some of that's comes with having a new system. And so there have kind of been two reasons for replacing these antennas. So as we go out and replace these antennas for coverage footprint, we're checking them out RF wise to make sure that they're not only are they not only do they have the coverage footprint that we want based on the design of the antenna, but they also are functioning properly. So we've got a list here of two slides and the county that the antennas have been replaced in. A lot of these sites have more than one antenna. Some of them have up to four antennas. So this is quite an achievement for our technician staff. They've been very busy replacing these antennas. These antennas are, 21 feet long, 83-pound antennas, so they're quite unwieldy, especially if you have any sort of breeze, which you pretty well always do on the top of a mountain. I won't read them all here, but you can see that all across the state on this slide, we've got antennas that have been replaced. Tina, let's go to the next one.
This is the next, pause a minute here.
I'm sorry, is this the next one?
Yeah, this is the second part.
This is the second slide. Okay. Antennas. Okay, then let's go to the coverage density slides.
Okay. There you go.
Okay, so this is another set of antennas that we replaced. Let's go to the ones with the maps, the coverage maps.
Phil, are you not seeing the Abajo maps?
No, it's behind. Okay, if there, it just clicked over. Okay. All right, so there must be some lag. Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
So this is a good example of what we were talking about. So originally, this antenna was spec'd with a higher down tilt. So that means it was directing its RF energy and also its receive signal more close to the base of the tower. But in rural environments where we need the signal to serve a larger area, it helps to have the gain and the down tilt of the antenna spread out over a more broad area. And so by adjusting those values, we can basically improve the signal density over a larger area. So on the left, you can see the pre-swap where the gain and down tilt, basically they're more of a knife edge pointed locally. It would serve those customers really, really well that were right at the base of the mountain. There probably are none. That's the subtitle there. But you can see afterwards that it improves when we change the down tilt to a lesser degree, and serves a broader area. If you go too far with it, what you'll end up with is a gap at the base of the tower and a band, you know, in the medium range, and then it falls off after that. So it's very, you know, you have to choose your antennas very carefully. Do we have another one of these, Tina?
Yeah, I just switched it to Barton.
Okay.
Peak.
Okay, it still hasn't switched to your...
Might be her connection. She's cutting in and out.
Okay. All right, just swapped. So again, this is a good example of how it really can fill out a valley with better coverage. And as we go test these, the technicians are driving in. We're testing both inbound signal and outbound signal. We have a logger tool that we've developed that does at least the outbound part of that automatically. And and essentially we're checking to make sure that what we see in the computer models is actually occurring on the ground. And I would say for the most part, that's been what's happened. There's been a couple cases, one of which is American Fork Canyon, where we swapped to what was the legacy system antenna, hoping that it would bring back coverage that we think we lost, and it actually got worse from the new antenna. So we're looking at a third antenna that's not the old design, it's not the P25 purchase system design, but it'll be a new antenna that we're speccing to hopefully improve coverage in that canyon.
And they're doing that today.
Yeah, I think there's a question in the chat about White Pine. If you would just email us offline, I don't think we have a White Pine one here in the deck, but we'd be happy to email you one for White Pine. Okay. All right, so yeah, you can kind of see what it does, and if you're interested in any specific area, we'd be happy to provide you with an image for your area. So expansion sites. So basically we've got Phelps Hill and Clay Hills, which are on a shortened lead time schedule with L3 Harris. Some of these other sites are still going through the contracting and approval process, but Phelps Hill, Clay Hills, both of those are up and coming. We have a lot of the infrastructure in place, if not all of it, and it's just waiting for the L3 Harris system to be installed.
There was a question about coral pink sand dunes.
What is the question? Let's see if I can find it.
Any plans for there?
Jamie with State Parks. We don't have any service down there. I was just wondering if you drive about 5 miles east towards 89, you pick it up. But at the park, there's nothing.
Yeah, so we've got two things. There's three things. There's a repeater, I believe, on Moccasin that dispatch has the ability to actually patch that in, and that gives some level of service in that area. So if you don't have the Moccasin VHF channel in your radio, that would be a good thing to add. So that's item one. Item two, we actually have a trailer that we've outfitted with a microsite. And we were prepped to basically send that trailer down, and it would pop up essentially a VHF channel that folks could get into, and we have a way of basically backhauling that and turning it into like a P25 channel over a Wi-Fi network or an LTE network. The problem was that the gentleman we talked to down there that works in the visitor center didn't have a multi-band radio, so there was not a lot of value to that, because apparently he's the main person that works that area, but he didn't have a multi-band radio. So
they have two of them now. I got them two portables.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
would a mobile help at all? Would that make any difference? with a mobile unit?
A mobile would help with just general P25 coverage, being able to get into the system further away from a site. Absolutely, that helps. But now that we know that, we've got a technician that's going down there in the next couple of weeks to do some just general RF cleanup. And one of the things we asked him to do was to take that trailer down and install it anyways. So that's a possibility, and that could give you some near-term coverage. And we'll work out. It'll be one of the statewide channels that will pop up. So if you've got the statewide channels in those new radios, then that should help out. Okay. So that's item two. Item three is we are working on an ISSI connection, which is a connector that goes between P25 systems to join them together. And the ISSI, we have an agreement with the NSRS, which operates a P25 system that would provide some coverage for the coral pink sand dunes that would be P25. So the radios would be able to basically roam onto our system, and we'd be able to roam onto their system. Their system is an 800 meg band system. Ours is a 700, but we're told that the roaming is fairly seamless and you wouldn't have to switch channels. We'll see how that goes. But right now that's being held up by burn-in, which is actually one of my topics on my list to discuss. We're in the middle of burn-in on our system, which is basically where we're making sure that all of the hardware and software is stable and ironed out. And we're in our second reset of that. We keep finding issues. We keep fixing issues. L3 Harris keeps fixing issues. And so we don't want to introduce any new issues that would come from like an ISSI connection and, you know, potentially anything that's hiding there. So that third thing that would solve coverage for you is maybe a little bit down the line, meaning months, not years, but months, and probably less than 6 months is my guess. But there's three options for you, and I think one that's short term.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm out of Salt Lake. Is there any way I could get an email when they're headed down with that trailer and I'll go down there?
Oh, sure. Maybe you guys should load up and go together. Do you have my email address?
If not, I'll call.
Okay, so I'm just pkrebs@uca911.org.
Okay.
Put it in the chat here. Send me an intro email, and then I can get you hooked up with the guy that's going down.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. So, yeah, we touched on burn-in. Go through my list. Duplicate IDs. So I think we mentioned this in the last chat with UCA, but we have a way now of detecting with some level of accuracy, we'll call it 70%, when there's a duplicate ID. I think that's actually a really good number. It's not an easy thing to detect a duplicate ID, and we actually didn't know that, and I'm not sure L3 knew that there was a way to detect it, but we've figured out a way to detect duplicate IDs using some of the error messages that come out of the system. So we identified those agencies, we went to those agencies and basically told them that they have duplicate IDs, or in some cases we've came and programmed those duplicate IDs out of the radios that had duplicate IDs. And this is an iterative process, so we'll basically, it's kind of like peeling an onion. You'll get the first layer of them, then you'll go back a second time and a third time, and each time you do it, just the pool of duplicate IDs just gets smaller and smaller. So I think, you know, we'll hit 50% of them now, 50% on the next run, and kind of weed those out. So if you're an agency that has radios and we approach you with duplicate IDs, know that we're not 100% sure that those are duplicates, but maybe 60% sure, and it's worth a look. Any of those users that have duplicate IDs will be getting radio bonks, where the radio doesn't key up, general missed audio, just kind of the radio is going to act poorly altogether, because it's what happens is there's a ping pong effect. One radio registers, then the other radio registers, then the other radio registers, then the other one. Got a question in the chat on that. Are the duplicate IDs specific to agencies programming L3H radios? No. They've occurred on Motos, L3s, Kenwoods, I assume. No. All right. Last on my list is BDAs. Do you want to hit that down?
Yeah. So over the last month or so, as we've gone through and updated some of these antennas, in doing so, we have greatly increased the efficiency of the sites. And so those BDAs that were installed previously, we're finding that they're now starting to cause interference. And it's not that they're a problem. It's the fact that they were set up and they were aligned at a certain power level for the way the site was operating prior to the update with the antennas and the retune. So you'll probably have one or two of our technicians coming around on occasion, knocking at the dispatch door or whatever, in their search for some of these BDAs. So just be aware of that.
Okay.
You're up, Tina.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. Does anyone have any other questions for Phil or Dan about anything radio related? Okay. A couple of other just updates about UCA. We have just looking to see if we have any. Yeah, we have some 911 people. So we've signed a contract with Motorola to allow for the PSAPs that want to use a couple of new features on the next gen phone system. And that is the Assist and the Vera. So I know you guys are very familiar with them. You've had some demos. We're working with Motorola now for an implementation plan and then to roll out the training for those of you who want to use the different applications that we've just purchased. And we are looking at a potential replacement for ECATs. So we've just been working with Motorola. They have a new product that they've recently purchased that some other states are actually looking or actually using at this time. So we're working on that. We have named the SWIC, the new SWIC, since Mike V left. We lost our SWIC. We've had conversations and negotiations with DPS. And we've named one of their emergency management people as the SWIC. And it's a position that's paid for by DPS anyway. So it makes more sense for one of their employees to take it on and someone from within DEM. So Scott Saunders, it has been officially named as the SWIC for the state. And any needs of that position can go directly through DEM. And Paul Wolden has a question for the radio guys, so go ahead, Paul. Oh, where are we at with Jack's Peak? Bill, do you want to bring them up to date on Jack's Peak, or do you want me to go from my note yesterday?
I'd go from, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, hang on just a minute, Paul. Let me just pull up my notes really quickly. For Jack's Peak, let's see. We are We've received verbal approval from the BLM. We had to change the layout design to avoid new right-of-way and NEPA issues, and we've ordered the tower and the backhaul. So that's the update on Jack's Peak. You're welcome. And Paul, also, I think you saw on the list, Gillies was replaced. We saw the testing we did and the maps looked amazing from Gillies. So hopefully you're having good success with that. I know that was causing you guys quite a bit of problems. And then let's see, other updates. We got our final fiscal year 26 budget approved yesterday. So as Phil went over the expansion sites, there were six listed on the Marysville one. He explained that one is iffy if we'll actually put a full site there, if we'll end up doing something a little bit different in a sense of a micro site of some sort. So that leaves us 5 to 6 sites that we have budgeted for. We've already actually ordered all of the L3H gear because that takes quite a while for them to get that built essentially and then shipped to us. We should have receive all of the sites by, I think they said September timeframe, but we've expedited Phelps Hill and Clay Hills since we are further along in the process with those two sites. So we should be receiving those within the next 4 weeks-ish. And other than that, I don't think that there was anything super specific about the budget that would be of great interest to all of you. But if you have specific questions, you can always ask. Other than that, I don't think we have anything else. Garrett, do you have anything as far as programming?
I don't.
Okay. And Melanie is at a conference today, so she's not on. That's why I covered 911 stuff. And so unless there's any other questions, we really appreciate everyone jumping on today. Questions. So thank you guys so much. We appreciate your time and we will talk next month.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.